Hey, Rock Live Podcast, we are back as promised, part number two. Oh man, it got so good. We had to just keep going and keep you on.
If you didn't get the last week's podcast, you might want to listen to that one first before you get this one, because we laid a foundation. We will review a bit because for some of you, it's been a week since you heard this content. But if you haven't heard this yet.
Oh, yeah.
I would go back and listen to the other one. And gosh, it's so good.
It is so good. We're having this much fun talking about it. Wow. I know you guys are having a good time.
Yeah.
But, we left off last week in terms of Pastor Dan. We were talking about selling out and all that with these bands. Now, the question for me, a band that you like that was indie, that was cool, that was hip, all of a sudden they're on the radio. What do you do with that?
I may be weird in this sense, because a lot of people, their response was, they went mainstream. I don't like, they're too produced. Yeah. I liked them when they were raw. Yeah. For me, I was like, dope. I can listen to them now. I was like, great.
I don't have to go to a show or buy the CD.
Man. I always I celebrated that because I was that guy. I had rock star dreams. I was the one that wanted to be on the radio.
That's
and
true.
So if someone made it, I was like, good for you, bro. Let's go.
Maybe I was too snooty.
Were you one of the guys that
Because it was just like, hey, there's a part of you, you want it for you.
And I knew about them before.
And there is the hey, well, because then they're like, oh my gosh, I'm a big fan of these guys. You're like, old news. Not that, but I can see how it's selfish, because I've heard some of these guys on their interviews and they're like, dude, we're going from town to town. And
now we got a
record deal. They help us with marketing.
I do think about. Again, the Christian scene was my scene in many ways, even though I listened to a lot of secular stuff and was raised by a couple of hippies. And so I know all the 60s, 70s, 80s rock and all that kind of stuff. Some of the 90s, and that mixed in because I was a teenager and playing guitar and all that kind of stuff, and then kind of fell off in the 2000s on. But I think about a band like Switchfoot.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Great guys. Yeah. You know what I mean? I've been to a bunch of their shows.
Yeah.
And I remember they raised up and were doing some great things and had a label. And I remember they did a whole record that they called it Our Cut.
Oh, wow.
So they were super produced, right? But then they were like, you know what? We want to do it our way.
That's cool.
And so they went back and they redid it with their thoughts and their edge. I loved it. I continue to love that band. I love them. And some of the major Christian bands over the years, because over the years they've reinvented themselves. Yeah. Bands like Jars of Clay.
Right.
If you listen to their first album, then you listen to successive albums, they change over time. And there's some folk in there, and then there's some rock, and then there's some moody, very thoughtful thing. I love when bands reinvent themselves,
Right.
And I've been super fan over the years and have gone and seen these guys in concert and have enjoyed. Need to Breathe is another one.
Which is the one that you saw in concert that was maybe it was your birthday or something like that?
Kings? Need to Breathe.
Need to Breathe. Okay.
Need to Breathe. At the Will Turn. And they rocked my face off, man. Those guys absolutely loved it. I remember he got up there. He said, we're going to play every song we know. 1, 2, 3, 4. And I was like, yes, let's do it.
Keep going.
Oh, man, that's we had awesome. A great time. Yeah. Yeah, that was so fun.
Well, in that thought, so you wouldn't call them sellouts. You were kind. You were loving. But going back to the thought of sellouts, this fully convinced, we were in this great vein. So we're glad you're back for part two.
Here it is.
And just getting kind of into the practical nitty gritty of some of these questions.
Uh-huh.
Right. Because we left off with hey, we know you have questions.
Right.
Keep faith through it.
Right.
But now what are some of those questions that are important for us to or navigate through?
I know yeah. Well, I think, again, if we go back to the inception of this whole thought, what I was thinking about was I see the lives of people that are Christians, right? And yet they're not acting like it. And either one of two things is going on. Either they're untaught, right? And in the true sense of the word, not in a harmful way of saying this or an insult, but they're ignorant. Mm-hmm. In the sense that they just don't know, right? And so I can work with that all day.
Mm-hmm.
How? You teach, right? Hey, that's not how Christians act. I remember there was a kid in a youth group that we had to confront. He was having sex with all the girls.
Mm-hmm.
And we confront him. We said, hey, you can't do that. And he says, why? And we're like, because the Bible says not to. And he's like, it does, And we're like, yeah. He goes, I thought that when you love someone, that's what you did.
Right.
And we're like, yes. But no, let's talk about marriage. Let's talk about how God designed sex. And let's talk about the healthy way of approaching this and abstinence until marriage, because it was made for marriage, right? To be enjoyed within a covenant relationship.
Yeah.
And man, that was great. I can work with that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when someone's been taught and they're not living, mm-hmm. then I see something else in their life. And either they're rebellious.
That's good. Yeah, true.
Which I can work with rebellion. Yeah. You know, it's like, hey, let's rebuke, let's correct, let's, you know, confront that sort of a thing. And if they repent, great, you know. Or here's the other thing. They're just not fully convinced. They've been taught, but they don't really, they haven't sold out.
Yeah.
Right? They didn't buy the shirt. They're not a super fan yet. Right. You know, they're not there.
Yeah.
And they like the ideas. They understand the ideas, but they just don't, maybe they don't see the benefit of it yet. You know, I think this is a big one in maybe giving. You know, a lot of times people, they'll try and give a little gift, and then when they don't have $100 show up the next day, you know, they gave 10, I didn't get 100, I didn't get a tenfold return, I guess it doesn't work. And they're not convinced. You know, but God calls us to a life of faith and a life of obedience.
Yeah.
And that's where there are some things that we're going to see over time. And there's things that we're going to have to step out in faith in order to experience the fullness of them. And I think about, you know, you said, what do we do if we have those questions? What do we do if we're not fully convinced, you know? And I love the fact that God gives us the lives of individuals in the Bible to learn from their examples.
Yeah.
Because they're all through the Bible, you find people that were, I mean, super fans, sold out 100%. And then you find the skeptics. You find the people that fought against it, right?
Yeah.
I think about the struggles of Jeremiah. I mean, this guy's called the weeping prophet. He's like, I didn't want to prophesy.
Yeah.
But when I shut my mouth, it was like fire in my bones. And everybody's like, ah, fire in my bones. No, no, no. You don't understand. That was painful.
Right.
He didn't want to because he knew that the moment he opened his mouth, persecution, there was things that he didn't want to say, like you're all going to die.
Well, the reason went through, like, oh, he was going to get killed. Like, literally, they were going to kill him for what
I picture the guy getting thrown into a cistern.
Yeah.
Up to his waist in mud.
Right.
Emaciated, not eating a lot of food.
Yeah.
They have to put down ropes, but they pat him in order to be able to lift him up out of it because it would hurt him too bad.
Right.
This is the life that he lived.
Yeah.
Right? And so there's...
All he had to do was not speak up, but he couldn't.
He couldn't.
Right.
Right.
And
that's where in Lamentations he talks about God like a bear waiting to maul him on the street as he's walking, but just bam, you know, it's like that's a crazy image of God. But
which by the side note, I love that there is room for lamenting.
Absolutely.
There is room for frustration
absolutely.
And challenge, which I think is an edifying comment, which is why I bring it up because I think we beat ourselves up when we doubt, when we get frustrated, when we're uncertain. But anyways,
but that's where God leaves these stories to be an example to us. And there was a guy in the scriptures that everybody knows mostly. Mm-hmm. If you've studied the word at all, you've probably read his writings.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, the apostle, right? Here was a guy who was fully persuaded. He had sold out to the way of Judaism, right?
Right.
It says, as far as zeal for the law, persecuting the church, right? He says, this is how sold out I was to what I believed. And it took an encounter with Jesus. Mm-hmm. On the road to Damascus, where he was going with letters from the leaders to drag people out of their homes, put them in jail, imprison them, and even kill them for what they believed.
Yeah.
And that's how much they believed it, too. They were sold out. So here's a sold out guy on one end persecuting sold out people on the other end. And it took Jesus intervening, knocking him down, blinding him, speaking to him, and a crazy conversion story for him to realize, I'm wrong and I need to learn. And so his faithful friend was Ananias, who came and laid hands on him. The scales fell from his eyes. He starts learning, and then he had to go out to the desert for 14 years to learn from God before he can start his ministry again.
Right.
And he was in church. He was in Antioch, and this was a commingled church. It was Jews and Gentiles. I mean, this was a great church. It was the place to be. This was the happening church. You know what I mean? Like everybody had eyes on it. You know, of course everybody knew the established church of Jerusalem, but this was kind of like a hybrid. It was a new thing. It was up and coming. And so here he is, and he's one of the prophets there.
Yeah.
And so they're prophesying, they're preaching, they're teaching, the miracles are happening, the church is growing, and God separates him to the ministry. He goes out on the ministry, and through the ministry, it's, you know, Paul and Barnabas, and then, you know, there eventually is a split, and Paul and Silas, and then you got Barnabas takes John Mark and makes him profitable again.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, some Acts church history stuff going on, all that stuff. But at one point, it says that Paul took along a guy named Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Timothy in himself was a hybrid guy.
Yeah.
He had a mama that was a Jewess, and he had a daddy that was a Greek.
Yeah.
And so Paul circumcises the kid because he knows he's going to Jewish places, and if they see a guy that had a Jewish mom that's not circumcised. Well, you're not a Jew, right? So now he takes that argument away,
yeah,
just for their sake, to be able to minister to them. All things to all men, right?
Yep.
And they go on. And later on, Paul, as he's talking about Timothy, says, I got no one like him. Everybody's abandoned me.
Yeah.
Everybody has a heart for their own things. But Timothy has a genuine heart for people like I do. He really has the right heart. And at the end of Paul's life, he's writing to Timothy. And Timothy, you can sense turmoil in him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a pastor. He's traveled. He's done the apostolic work. He's seen miracles, signs, and wonders. He's been there on all these journeys and all these trips and seen things, right? But Paul assigns him to a church, a big church, okay? Ephesus.
Yep.
Huge. I mean, the Ephesian church was massive. Probably, it's estimated 750,000 people in that church.
Mm-hmm.
How would you like to be this? I mean, I have a struggle with this church, you know what I mean? With the size of this church. But
yeah.
But to be over all that, right? And so here he is. There's order in the church. There's leadership, but they needed a pastor. And so here's Pastor Timothy, right? And Paul's writing to him, and he starts telling him, God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but of power, right, love, and something. He's building him up. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid, Timothy. Yeah. Stir up the gifts that are
mm-hmm.
in you.
Mm-hmm.
By the laying on of hands. Stir it up.
Yeah.
Keep moving in it. Keep praying. Keep praying in the spirit.
Yeah.
Give attention to doctrine. Reading the word publicly.
Yeah.
If someone's out of line, rebuke them, right?
Yeah.
And then he says something that's crazy. And this is where I wanted to get to. He says, hey, Timothy, if you have questions, pray about it.
Mm.
And God will make that clear to you.
Yeah.
In other words, Timothy, if you're not fully convinced in an area,
yep,
just simply give it to God. Talk to God about it. And God will make it clear to you.
Yeah.
I love that because it gives us permission in a couple of areas. Number one, to have the questions, like you said.
Right.
The Bible gives us room, even for doubt, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody gets down on doubting Thomas, but Jesus came and made it clear to him. Thomas, put your hands here.
Yeah.
Reach into my side.
Yeah.
You were gone, so you didn't believe, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe, right?
Right.
But what was he doing? He was showing Thomas something, and Thomas was fully convinced. Thomas ended up, if you read his story, becoming a martyr.
Yeah, right.
Laid down his life. That's how sold out he was.
Yeah, he was in.
But Jesus met him at that point of doubt.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't get down on Thomas, doubting Thomas. I wouldn't do it. No. Jesus met him where he was at.
He didn't rebuke him.
He brought him to him,
right?
That's the grace of God. So you can see how Paul says, Timothy, if you're unclear, if you've got thoughts, questions, doubts, whatever going on, bring it to God. That's the second area we get permission, is to bring that to God.
Yes.
We don't have to hide it.
So good.
We don't have to be ashamed of it.
Right.
Bring it to God. God, I don't understand this.
Yeah.
What is this all about, God?
Well, that goes to the, God, I'll come to you when I get it figured out, because we're afraid to
or
come
proud
with these questions. Yeah, or proud. Like, I can't, because I have these doubts, because I'm not certain, I'm not coming to you. And he's inviting us even in this process.
Oh, for sure.
Right. Even in when we're not fully convinced, still come.
Right.
But continue.
So that's the other area. And then I love the last part, is that God will make it clear to you.
Yes.
And that gives us permission, again, to trust the one that we're sold out to.
Right.
Love that. If you really are a Christian, you've sold out and you've given your heart and life to Jesus. You said, all my heart and all my life. Right. You bought the shirt. You're a super fan.
Yeah.
You know, you've got every album. You're a part of this. Right. That in coming to God with your prayers and with your questions, that faith still rests in the place where it should be, right? Whether you know it and understand it or don't know it and are waiting on a response, your trust is in the right place. It's not in the wisdom of man.
Yeah.
It's not in the latest YouTube video. It's not in the TikTok theologian.
Yeah.
It's in God.
Mm-hmm.
And in the soundness of that which has been approved for centuries through the men and women of God, through use, through the, you know, cross references through the early church fathers all the way through to today.
Yeah.
Right. And that's where we can say, hey, I've got something. You know, the Bible says ask for the ancient paths. And that's where, you know, sometimes people with the new and the latest, greatest fad or this doctrine that's coming out, that's not what God is saying. There's time tested and true things.
Yeah.
And one other statement that the Apostle Paul makes is says being fully convinced because you know the people that you learned from.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, look at the lives of the people
that
go before you. One of the things about being a pastor, you know this, and that is that we live in a fishbowl in many ways.
Right.
Everyone's looking at our lives, you know. I've had to intentionally guard my kids from a lot of scrutiny and a lot of, you know, even just eyes on them,
right?
Because I don't want them to be a spectacle.
Yeah.
You know, if I tell stories about their lives, oftentimes I'll say one of my children and not say which one, right? Of course, everyone in the seats around them is looking at them. Was that you? You know, and they're like, shut up, like, go away. Yeah,
right.
And so we've tried to guard our kids, even my online stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you searched social media and things like that, we've tried not to post a lot and that sort of a thing, just because we love our kids and we want to celebrate them and we don't want them to think that they're not special to us. But at the same time, we didn't want to expose them to certain things and just have them out there. And, you know, because they already get random people that think that they know them. But, you know, in looking at that, when our kids have seen our lives and when we've shown our lives to the congregation, right, and been a part of that fishbowl, you know, when I preach, I use my marriage as an example. I use my struggles as an example. Why? Because I want people to know, if this works for me, God's no respected person.
Yeah.
It'll work for you. And if you're learning something in the Word of God and you trust the leadership that's up here, then guess what? I'm convinced.
Yeah. Right. I'm not just saying this for a paycheck. I believe in this.
Exactly.
Right. I'm getting high on my own supply.
Well, and that makes me think, I made this statement too. I took the membership class at The Rock.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I served. I served and played guitar.
Yeah.
I've been a part of the operations department. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing this because I'm the senior pastor. Yeah. I'm doing this because I have a real heart for this house, for this place. And I watched Jim and Deborah Cobray.
Yeah.
I watched the lives of the associate pastors that were around, and I learned from them. Pastor Sherm Smith taught me pastoral care.
Yeah.
Pastor, you know, other pastors were involved in that as well, but I watched their lives. I watched what they did. I watched as guys went out from us and planted churches.
Right.
I followed their ministries and thought about their doctrine and how it lines up with where they're at today.
Right.
And that's why I'm careful about my life now.
Well, which I think it's safe to say, as much as those things are what you did, it wasn't because you were sold out to a church, an organization, a membership, a leader, a pastor. Those were because of your sold outness to God.
Yes, yes.
And I think the problem is we do those things because we're sold out to an organization, a person, a people.
Yeah.
Those things can fail or fall.
Sure.
And then now it all is in shambles. Whereas if we are sold out to, now, because you did that because I'm sold out to Jesus, his model is the church. He gives us pastors.
Right.
So I'll submit myself under a house, under a pastor, but that's not the source of why I'm doing it. So if those things shake, I think you say this all the time. Hey, follow me as I follow Christ, because that's
absolutely
what Paul says. So if you ever wake up one day and I'm not following Jesus, don't follow me.
Right.
Right. That's common language for us who are, but that's not every church.
Right.
That's not every preacher, because some people, unfortunately, are bringing people to themselves, their platform, their leverage. And that's not calling anybody out. I'm just saying those are the things that we can be mindful of and to watch out for, that will give ammunition to us being fully convinced that I'm not doing this. I don't want organized religion. I don't, all those preachers are the same. No, they're not. Watch, listen. And there's the personal responsibility aspect for all of us in this, right?
Yeah.
And going back to the original verse about being fully convinced by our own convictions, right? And how do we do that? We get into the Word. Hey, you're watching all those YouTube videos. Don't say you don't have time to read the Word for yourself.
Absolutely. Because
you're going on the deep dives. You're up till 3 in the morning. I remember during COVID, it's like, well, do you think this? I was watching this video. And then I have the husband telling me, oh, yeah, my wife's online 3 hours a night at the end of the day because the rabbit trails take you every which place. Like, how much time do you spend in the Word? And again, that's not to shame anybody, because sometimes those things.
But it's a reality
check.
But
it is like, hey, what are we allowing to inform
right.
us?
And and I think that, too, with what we're talking about with the Apostle Paul saying, knowing whom you've learned those things from and watch, right? The Apostle Paul ran his race.
Yes.
He finished well. Pastor Jim finished well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was, he never went out on Pastor Deborah.
Right.
He wasn't stealing money from the church. Right. I know, because I've got eyes on the finances.
Right.
I can see, you know, there was accountability and checks and balances, all those kind of things. There was not scandal. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't any of those things. I'm so grateful for men like Jack Hayford, who was faithful to his wife.
Yep.
Ran his race and now is with Jesus. I'm grateful for Dr. Frederick Casey Price.
Right.
Ran his race. He's with Jesus. I'm grateful for Reinhard Bonnke.
Right.
Ran his race. He's with Jesus. There's not scandal or things around these guys. Billy Graham.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so thankful for that man.
Yeah.
He ran his race well.
Yeah.
I can learn from them. Why? Because I see mm-hmm. the doctrine of what they were sold that's out good. To Jesus for, yeah. and that's follow me as I follow mm-hmm. Christ, yeah. right?
I held up.
And for the ones that didn't, mm-hmm. I may be able to learn from their example yeah. and from some of the things, but I'm not going to follow them right. in that sense.
Right.
You understand?
Yeah.
And I think that's where when we take a look at church, and that's where, like you said, we don't put our trust in man. If I fall, I'm a man. Pray for me.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like that sort of a thing. But follow me as I follow Christ. But also, that's why we give ourselves as an example, is because, hey, this is working in my life. Mm-hmm. This is something that I've seen myself.
Yes.
And this is where I'm fully convinced. And I want to share this with you from the truth of God's word mm-hmm. so that you can be fully convinced.
Yeah, I love that. And I mean, I the word that comes to mind is fruit. When we see fruit,
absolutely, you know, fruit inspectors.
Jesus tells us like a bad tree can't produce good fruit.
True.
So when we're seeing this good fruit, we go to the source of it. You're not gonna, if you have a bad fruit, you're not gonna eat another one that looks the same way
yeah.
from the same tree. You're gonna go back to where you're getting good fruit. And again, for everyone's personal journey, because this isn't about a specific church or ministry, but for in our personal journeys of these questions mm-hmm. of getting ourselves to a place. Because I think about the next generation who maybe don't have the history or longevity in the faith, or they've seen the ups and downs. Man, how do they get that? How do they
sure.
fight through those things to build some of that in them? The resiliency that is necessary, that's required.
Yeah. I know, again, from my personal story, I can see some things that happened to me that were very beneficial in this mm-hmm. area. One is that, you know, I fell in love with Jesus.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are there. They love Jesus. He's their Savior. He's their Lord. They love Him. With that, you got to have a love for God's Word. I devoured God's Word early on because I was sold out.
Yeah.
And I said, if I'm going to call myself a Christian,
yeah.
I better know what this book says. And so I started reading the Word of God. My pastor, Dr. Rich Hall, who attends our church now, he's one of our pastoral care team mm-hmm. members. He's probably called some of you if you put in a prayer request. But he challenged our church, read 3 chapters a day, 5 on Sundays, you'll go through the Bible in a year. Well, again, I devoured it. 8 months, I was done.
Yeah.
I hit the amen in Revelation. I said, what did I just read?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's been a lifelong journey for the past, 30
yeah.
plus years,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
31 years. That it's just been my passion to go through the Word of God. And currently, I'm Old Testament in the morning, New Testament in the evening, just going through. I don't know how yeah. many times I've read the Bible. That's not a humble brag.
Right, no, no.
It's a statement yeah. of fact. Right. I don't know how many times mm-hmm. I've read the Bible.
Yeah.
But I'm still reading. And as I read, I go, God, when did you put that in there? You know, is this abridged?
Yeah,
you know, is this
yeah.
a new?
Yeah. I've never heard that.
Never realized that. I mean, simple things. And yet, it's not that the Word changes, that I've changed. Mm-hmm. Or that I'm coming alive to it, or I'm finally seeing it, or God's pointing it out to me. But that's why it's so important that we fall in love with the Word and we're fully convinced of what it says in God's Word. Many people aren't convinced because they don't even know what it says.
Yeah.
Never read the Bible, never studied it. Mm-hmm. I mean, not just reading casually.
Yeah.
Study it.
Yeah.
What does this mean? What does this mean to me? What mm-hmm. is the context? What's the historical context?
Yeah.
What are right, all those. Like, how does this tie into the rest yeah. of the Bible?
Right.
Really study it and find out those deep things about the Bible. Fall in love with God's church. So one of the things I did was I fell in love with God's church and I watched the men of God. I watched them go through struggles. We talked about examples, right? Mm-hmm. From the Bible as well as from life. Mm-hmm. And the men and women of God that are doing well,
yeah.
look at their example, look at their lives and see how the doctrine that they teach
yeah.
is being lived out. Mm-hmm. And follow me as I follow Christ. I think those are great things as we're on this journey together. And then where there's questions, ask the questions, find out what you can.
Yeah.
And where there's holes, be comfortable in faith, knowing that God is still God.
Yeah.
Whether or not there's aliens, giants, big trees that were cut down, you know, dinosaurs,
yeah.
Millions of years, billions of years, or thousands of years,
yeah.
tens of thousands, you know?
Yeah, no, that's so good, Pastor, because I think, you know, I think there's a lot, this is good because it's a lot of help for all of us,
mm-hmm.
right? Because we all have those challenges, those run-throughs, in conversations, and there's so much that we don't understand.
Yeah.
And I think I've heard it before, like the longer you walk with God, the more you know that you don't know.
More I know about God, the more I don't know about Him. Because, the bigger He gets, the less I understand.
We thought we knew Him, and then not that He's changing, but that
our view is getting bigger.
Yeah, it's just so.
And that's
amazing.
That'd be the last thing I'd say is just fall in love with prayer. You know, if you're in love with Jesus, talk to him. Yeah. If you're in love with God, talk to him. Fall in love with prayer because, like the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, if you have questions about anything, ask God and he'll make it clear to you.
And see, even that, the example of like, hey, I'm not the source. Actually, he knew he was about to die. and that was there was that encouragement, like, hey, there's the Holy Spirit. There's the power that you have access to. And guess what? That same Holy Spirit that Paul told Timothy about lives in us if we're believers.
Yeah.
And we have access to that same information, inspiration when we read God's word. So it's a beautiful thing. I pray that you all are encouraged. I know I'm fired up.
All right.
In my sold outness, right? Be a sellout. Be on the radio. Hey, there you go. Maybe be on the radio. But walk through our questions. Maybe could you pray us out, Pastor Dan? I know just for those of us who have struggled at any time with what does this mean? How do I? And then maybe they listen to this and still have more questions.
Yeah.
What do we do then?
But
pray for us.
Well, that's where we pray. Yeah. God will make it clear. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for everybody watching and listening to this podcast, God, for those that are going to reach now and in the future. And Father, there's many questions. You know them all. God, you know what's on our hearts. You know what's in our minds. And Father, you can read our mail. You know what's the deep and hidden things that maybe we say we believe and really don't, or the things that we act on out of maybe tradition, ritual, and yet we're not completely sold out. Father, I pray for every person, God, that as they encounter those questions and those doubts and those things that might take them away from the truth of your word, God. I pray, Lord, that first and foremost, God, that in their love for you, that they would come to you with those things, God, that they would bring it out into the light and have fellowship with you, with your Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Father God, that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He's the anointed one that can come and speak to our hearts and remind us of things that you've said and reveal your truth to our hearts so that we can be fully convinced, fully persuaded, God, and live the life that you want us to live. I pray, God, that the church would be seen to be a people that are living out their faith because they are fully convinced, fully persuaded, assured of the things that they've learned, known, been taught. God, that they'll see it in the lives of their leaders. God, I pray for pastors and evangelists and teachers and prophets and apostles, God, for those that are speaking the word and delivering it to the people, God, Sunday school teachers and youth workers and pastors, God, all of the leaders that are writing books and different things about God, and Lord, even the people producing videos online, God, I pray that there would be perfect soundness in the teaching, God, that there would just be a resurgence, God, a biblical foundation and truth that's going forth, God, at a level of maturity that allows the body of Christ to grow up into the image of Christ, being fully persuaded, fully convinced, God, sold out to the things of God, and that the world would take notice, God. Lord, for those areas that we do have questions or maybe there's some holes in our theology, God, I pray that you'd fill in the blanks, God, that you would teach us, that you would show us those things and assure us of the things, God. And Father, that the places where we don't get those answers, Lord, that our faith in you would be greater than the questions and the doubts. Father, we thank you that we can live with that because you are God and we are not. Yes. And so, Lord, we love you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hey, we love you guys. Tune in till next time. Like, comment, share, subscribe. We'll talk to you soon. God bless you.